Hold on. Wait. Shit, I'm in the wrong spot. Wait. Oh, we'll be right back.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, we're at a new location today.
We are, and hey, everybody, thanks as always for finding the Geek Spot.
Yeah, man. It's our pleasure to be here for you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're home and you're suffering from a Decepticon and you want to just tune in and, and watch us and hang out with us for a couple hours. A couple hours.
Yeah. Wow.
That's not happening.
They can just watch it back to back.
They can. How was your New Year's?
I was quiet, man. Nothing. New Year's itself was fairly quiet. I mean, I spent most of the day watching Netflix.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Matthew Rocha. I'm gonna say it wrong on purpose.
There's a show that came through that I watched most of.
Most of?
In the morning, and then I watched the rest of after midnight.
Okay.
But I finished it all on the same awake time, so that was good. Yeah. Took my kid to see Sing 2 last week, so I went to the movie theater twice last week.
Was I right about the scene that they showed in the credits being like the epic moment of the movie?
The scene they show in the credits.
So scene they show in the credits is when the old lion comes walking down the hallway that I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And I assume that was like the epic like moment of the
movie. No, it had been set up way before that.
Oh, okay.
The lion is voiced by Bono.
Now, I didn't know the lion was voiced by Bono. Now I may go see this. I knew that their music was in it.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the original one.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I mean, surprise, but
by the way, it's great. It's so, I don't know if you saw Rocket Man. I doubt it, but, yeah. Taron Egerton got the gig in Rocket Man because of Sing. He covered an Elton John song and they were like, hey, you sound a lot like Elton John. Want to be in this other movie? And then he and Elton John became good friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then Elton John popped up in Kingsman, not the new Kingsman I didn't see it yet.
I don't think they could. I don't think that movie made enough money to afford Sir Elton John.
No. But yeah, did that. Watched a lot of TV shows. Watched a couple movies on Netflix too.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little Don't Look Up.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Little Death to 2021, which was hysterical. I'd highly recommend it. But yeah, Don't Look Up was good. Good. Another. Both of them were satires for sure. One was a mockumentary. One was. Satiring our last 2 years of existence, really.
Boy.
But great cast. Phenomenal cast. Leo and Jennifer Lawrence.
Leo.
Cate Blanchett, who I didn't even know was Cate Blanchett through most of it.
Oh, really?
Meryl Streep. Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I know the cast is pretty star-studded. The Unforgivable was pretty good, Matt said.
I heard my wife watched that. She enjoyed it.
Is that the one with Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman?
No.
No. Oh, that's Unforgiven. Sorry.
Unforgivable is with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, okay. I do want to see that. I really like her. Sandra Bullock.
Sequel. It's the sequel to Bird Box.
Sandra Bullock and I don't know.
She's the one in the little Netflix icon. How was your New Year's though?
Quiet, but not quiet. Low keyed. We went to Jimmy's house, hence the banner around us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Jimmy's, and I didn't drink a lot. Like, I Jimmy made a lot of food, Jimmy and Mark. There was only about six or seven of us there. We did a lot of karaoke after the parade. About 2 o'clock in the morning it started, the karaoke, and went on till almost six.
What parade?
Not the parade, the New Year's awful Eve show that was on that Ryan Seacrest hosts.
Got it. Oh, you didn't watch Miley and
no
Pete Davidson.
No, I heard about it. I heard about the slip. But
there wasn't anything. No.
No. She covered it up pretty good from what I saw.
Yeah.
No, that it was other than that, I watched a Netflix show from episode 1 to 10 so wow. that we could talk about it tonight. Actually, that's it was
impressive.
It was. I watched a football player quit a football team, as we all did.
Also amazing.
It was epic. Epic, epic, epic. Dylan, happy New Year's. Charles, Space Force 2, February 18th. I couldn't finish Space Force 1.
You were into it, though, weren't you? I thought you were digging it.
I was, and then it just kind of like swerved on me, and it just – I don't know. Maybe that's another one. This is the year that I am actually going to catch up on things that I need to catch up on.
Oh, yeah?
This is the year, yes. I have 62 days.
You do. It's a commitment.
Michael C. Hall got announced at Monster Mania. He is Dexter, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know everything.
Anthony Michael Hall.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah. He's not Dexter.
You feel me? You know. I have this list. I have a couple of lists.
Oh.
And this one list is the list that I want to do desperately, but I know we can't. We would have to take an entire show just for this list.
What list is this?
Is every Nicolas Cage movie ranked worst to best?
He's done 4,000 movies.
He's done 92. So we're not going to go through the whole thing. I'm going to skim it until we get to 10, but not now.
I think we do the bottom five and the top five and see if we agree.
I can do that. But there's a couple in the middle that are like, oh, I know that one. Like, I don't know from basically 92 to 70. I'm not really sure of.
Oh, they're probably his last 10 years of work then.
It's everything he's done. Since I'm in it now, we may as well just go along with it. Yes, I never heard of. I heard of Amos and Andrew. The Wicker Man, I heard of that. That's 77.
He was barely in that. Wait, what's 92?
92. We'll start there. 92. I'll give you the top. I'll give you the bottom five, like you said. 92 is Deadfall.
Okay. Never heard of
it. Has a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's impressive.
Christopher Coppola movie. It was a 2017. Okay. Then was Left Behind as 91. Is a Vic Armstrong movie.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. 90 is Grand Isle.
Okay. Nope.
Yeah. Okay. A young man named Buddy is charged with murder and must find a way to prove his innocence before it's too late. 2019.
Sounds fascinating.
Yep. Number 89 is 211. It's a direct-to-video.
Yeah, I would assume.
What do I got to do? Go to 87 here. Trapped in Paradise is at 88.
Okay. Still no.
Yep. John Lovitz is in this one with Dana Carvey.
Oh, dear God. So that was 90 sometime, I'm guessing.
Doesn't give me the dates, and I didn't look them up. Arsenal is 87. So that's the bottom five.
So here's the lesson, kids. So don't say you're only going to do movies. Bite the bullet. Do some TV besides the history of curse words. Like,
right.
Do some TV stuff. It's high art. Nick Cage refuses. He says, I'm a movie actor. I don't act in TV shows. They said, but Nick, you'll do great at it, and you'll be able to do a bunch. He says, no, I only do movies. No matter how shitty they are, I'm only going
to
do movies.
Let me tell you this. As I'm scrolling down to get to the top, I'm going to do the top 10 here. Gone in 60 Seconds is 52.
Well, this list is inherently flawed then.
Right. And National Treasure Book of Secrets is 50.
Well, that's
National Treasure is 48.
Nope. Also,
this list is terrible.
Yeah.
Because Snake Eyes is 46, and that's in my top 10.
yeah, it's close.
Family Man at 43? That was a great movie. I'm sorry.
Clearly somebody that's in their early 20s.
Con Air at 41? Dude, they're killing my top 10 here. Guarding Tess at 40?
Well, that's fine.
Okay. Shut up, Hudson. Jesus. Hold on. 35 is Snowden. I'm going. The Rock is 30.
Oh, this list is broken.
This list is 29 is Honeymoon in Vegas. Isn't okay. that like
that, so let me think. I'm thinking we're getting Raising Arizona.
Let's see. It Could Happen to You is 26. That's also a good movie.
Sure.
You don't remember that one?
No.
That was the one with
Ghost Rider might be up there.
Ghost Rider number 2 is 70, and I haven't even looked at the others.
Oh.
Hold on. We're at 22.
I'm thinking you get Raising Arizona. I'm thinking you get
Fast Times is 18. I mean, he really wasn't in that, but for like a blink, right?
Thinking you get is Valley Girl up towards the top here.
17, very good there. Peggy Sue 15. Here we go. Top 10. Matchstick Men at 10.
Nope.
Okay. Leaving Las Vegas at 9.
That's tough to put that low. I think that's low.
Face Off at 8.
No. I mean, and you put five. Gone in 60 Seconds to 52?
Right. Face Off is top 5. Nicolas Cage movie.
No, I'll give you top 10. It's not top 5 for Nicolas Cage.
Okay. Raising Arizona, 7.
Nope. That should be number like 2.
Moonstruck, 6.
Yeah.
I can't even think of what possibly could be number 1. I've
not really a Nicolas Cage vehicle, though.
I didn't look at this list beforehand, obviously, as I do. Adaptation, 5.
Okay, so they're going that Nicolas Cage.
Red Rock West, 4.
Oh, that was good.
Okay. 3, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That's not fair. But I guess that works.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd consider it a top movie he was in, but not one of his top movies.
How about Mandy at number 2?
Don't know what it is.
Panos Cosmatos' psychedelic horror film Mandy stars Cage as Red and Andrea Riseborough as the titular Mandy with Linus Roche, Ned Dennehy. I don't know any of these people.
No, it's all famous people's kids. And
that's an 80s movie. Oh. And number 1, Pig.
Okay, I heard good things about Pig.
But the number 1 Nicolas Cage movie?
It was on Obama's list of movies to watch from 2021.
Fair point.
He was Spider-Man Noir. Matthew. And, I mean, Teen Titans Go to the Movies not being up there for his turn finally as Superman
Who
is a little upsetting.
Who was he in Spider-Verse? I closed the list.
It's still Spider-Man Noir, Frank. I was answering, Matthew.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally wasn't listening.
You don't know because you didn't watch it yet.
That is on my list. First, that's at the top of my list of movies to watch.
Is it?
Thursday, I'm tackling it when I'm back home. When I'm back home from the office.
It's a good plan.
Yeah.
So we did get Dylan did make a point back to Michael C. Hall real quick.
Yes.
That he would make a good Reverse Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. He would not make a good Reverse Flash to Ezra Miller, though.
Nobody would make a good anything to Ezra Miller.
I think if we ever got a proper Barry Allen, he would be a fantastic Eobard Thawne.
The rumors that he's talking about, I wasn't actually going to pull them up, but there's rumors going around now. And the guy that spilled this rumor is actually the first person to spill the Spider-Man spoilers that was correct on this. This guy's, I forget his name. If anybody knows his name, they can throw it up in the chat and I'll shout it out. His rumor is that somebody has seen a cut of the Flash movie and they are basically erasing Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck from the DCEU. And little by little, this movie is going to erase the DCEU from the Snyder version, basically. And they're going to replace it with the new Supergirl and new Batgirl and Shazam. It's not John Cena.
But we've had confirmed in the new Batgirl that Michael Keaton is going to be there along with J.K. Simmons's.
Correct.
Which, honestly, Keaton as Simmons is a better – that could be a really good Commissioner Gordon Batman duo.
Yeah. I like the guy from – personally, the Commissioner Gordon from the Keaton Batman.
I don't know that he's still around.
He might not be. I was browsing the internet. And I came up with a couple of things.
Okay.
So remember, was it a couple weeks ago, back in November, I think, that Vin Diesel put this big plea out on Instagram about bringing The Rock back to the franchise and he needs his little brother to come home.
And his kids miss him.
put it all out there. Well, The Rock isn't too thrilled with that whole thing.
It did take him a month and a half to respond.
It did. But The Rock's busy. Hey, The Rock's busy, dude. He does everything.
Yeah.
He's ramping up a presidential run. You heard it here third.
You heard it on the Young Rock TV show first?
You heard it on The Rock. That's right. So Dwayne has expressed his beliefs that Diesel's latest plea is nothing more than manipulation on Vin Diesel's part, and he's not so happy that he brought the kids into things. He said that he has had private conversations in the past with Vin Diesel, and he cordially expressed his "I'm never coming back" views to him and made him understand then this conversation took place in the past that he's never coming back. And if he wishes them luck and he hopes it succeeds and he wants everyone to succeed, but that bridge is completely burnt.
Yeah, look, he's got enough franchises that he doesn't need that one.
He does. He does.
Which is easy enough to write him off screen.
It's sad, but yeah, I want
as somebody who hasn't watched any of them.
I want
maybe 2022 will be my year to watch the Fast and Furious movies.
I'll catch up to movies in general before you get to that.
You think so? I have to finish Letterkenny.
I have to start that. So see? Yeah,
so I'm finished. I'm working through Letterkenny. I'm in season 5 now.
This was something that I don't even know why it was news, but Ice Cube recently tweeted about The Rock is turning his back on family. That's fucked up, man. Chris Tucker was actually supposed to be in next Friday. So remember Friday?
Yeah.
Back in 95, I think it was.
Yep.
And then they did next Friday, but there's no Smokey. Chris Tucker didn't right. come back, and everybody assumed that he was mad about something or whatever.
I thought he was doing Rush Hour movies, wasn't he?
No. What happened was they were ready to pay him between $10 and $12 million to come back then in 2000 when next Friday was released. Chris Tucker turned them down for religious reasons. He no longer wanted to smoke weed or cuss on camera anymore. I don't know why this is news now, but
I don't know that Chris Tucker's done much since then.
Nope. He made enough money off of Rush Hour that he could afford to say no.
Yeah. And the, Fifth Element.
And Fifth Element. Yeah. How about a couple of the biggest box office bombs of 2021?
Weren't they all?
No, but Dear Evan Hansen was.
Ooh. Well, look, did you see the ads for Dear Evan Hansen?
I remember it vaguely.
I like the kid. The kid got famous 15 years ago for playing him in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to come across as a kid 15 years later in the theater than on the screen.
Granted, it is this is still the COVID stuff coming through the box office for this year. But that movie lost between $8 and $9 million in its theatrical run.
Yeah, that's actually not bad.
No.
It could have lost a lot more.
No. In the Heights.
Yeah.
That was a Lin-Manuel Miranda movie.
Yeah.
Made back $43.9 million of its $55 million budget.
Also not bad. I mean,
but that simultaneously released on
so
theaters
we do
and
notice.
HBO.
We do notice what the what's going on here, right? Is that these are both musicals?
Yes, so far, Suicide Squad actually lost $17.6 million.
That was lost, but how much did it gross?
It was $185 million budget, so it grossed 170 something.
Okay, not bad.
Not bad.
I mean, not $1 billion like Spider-Man just did, but that also was at the height of COVID when it released.
Correct.
And it released on HBO Max.
Yep. And same.
I watched it on HBO Max.
King Richard lost about 50. It only cost $50 million to make, but amassed 26.2 back, lost $23.8 million.
But
again,
that whole $23.8 million went to Willis Smith's salary. So I'm sure.
Probably. Yes.
Yeah.
The Many Saints of Newark, which I shockingly still haven't seen yet.
I'm not surprised.
No.
Another, it was also on HBO Max, though.
Correct. Another double, and that lost $37 million.
Wasn't Into the Heights also a dual release? It was, right?
Yeah. So far, they all pretty much have. Reminiscence. There's a Hugh Jackman movie.
Oh, that looked awesome, but it's
set a record for worst film debut of all time and lost between $38 and $52 million.
Yeah, it looked like an awesome concept.
Yeah.
But it was something where I was like, oh, that's something that I'll watch someday late at night on like a Friday or Saturday.
Yep. And then here's one that I actually was looking forward to seeing and I never went to see, partially because of COVID and partially because of lazy. Snake Eyes lost between $47 and $69 million.
That's also not a surprise.
No.
Released during the height and I think just theatrical, right?
I believe they tried. Yeah, they tried just theatrical with
that. And not got banged up in reviews from the get-go.
Yep. West Side Story.
Ooh.
Lost $63 million of its $100 million budget.
Yeah, it's not done losing money yet either. So
nope. I'm almost done with this one. The Last Duel.
Hey, there you go, Dylan.
That was the Ridley Scott one. Yep. That lost $69.5 million.
I wonder how much of that's in set and production costs and how much of that's in salaries to actors.
I mean, that had a pretty good cast, right? That had Adam Driver and Matt Damon for two.
And Ben Affleck.
And was he? Oh, that's right. He's like the king or something,
isn't
he? And
Jodie Comer.
From the video game movie. From the Ryan Reynolds. She was in the Ryan Reynolds movie.
She's also in Killing Eve, which is another show you need to add to your list.
Yes, Killing Eve. That's the one I was thinking of. Chaos Walking. Oof. Ooh, that's the Daisy Ridley Tom Holland movie.
Did that get released?
Uh-huh. $73 million loss.
I didn't even know that went out in the theaters.
Yep. Chaos Walking was actually the biggest bomb of 2021.
That tracks.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a huge tank. Snake Eyes, Dylan said Snake Eyes came out a week after Black Widow. Yeah, that is. It is. A tough.
And people were leery to go to the theater for Black Widow to begin with, let alone to go see Snake Eyes, which got panned the minute it came out.
Yep. I got one more list before we can go to other stuff. This one's a good list. This is the best TV shows of 2021 as per denofgeek.com.
Okay.
All right.
Questionable.
It is. I was trying to find a good one, and this was the one I settled on that wasn't a list of 100 shows. 25 is a lot of shows to go through.
Yeah.
So we'll most likely speed through most of them because I don't know what Guilt is. That's 25.
Okay.
Reservation Dogs.
What was this list again? Top 25 shows of...
Top the best TV shows of 2021.
Reservation Dogs has gotten really great reviews. I have not had time to watch it yet.
Okay. Station 11?
No. I know what it is, but no.
No. Hacks? At 22?
Hacks is fantastic. I've raved about that since the summer.
You have. But that all the way down at 22.
Season 2 coming soon.
This list is already shit. Hawkeye at 21?
Nope.
It's already way shit. Higher. Yeah, big time.
Ah!
Well, it depends on what this is. Well, everything.
Let's see where we keep going. Yeah, let's see where it goes from here.
Superman and Lois at 20.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. It's a Sin at 19.
Don't know it.
It's a usually joyful for a show about the 1980s AIDS crisis.
Oh, well, that sounds like.
And unusually funny for a series that will rip out your heart and make your blood boil while you're smiling.
Sounds like something I don't want to watch. Great.
Nope. I'm good. 18 is Evil.
Evil was good. It's on Paramount Plus, so I didn't watch season 2.
Okay. The Other Two at 17 is a TV comedy.
Yeah. I might have seen an episode, but.
No. Shadow and Bone at 16.
It's on my watch list.
That's a Netflix show. Okay.
It looks similar to a Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Wheel of Time fantasy style show.
All right, so 2023 for me, got it. The White Lotus at 15.
Heard phenomenal things about it. It's an HBO Max series.
Okay. Only Murders in the Building. You mentioned this, and somebody else really wanted me to watch this.
It's good. It's very funny.
Yeah, it's Steve Martin, Martin Short, and
Selena Gomez.
And Tina Fey, and Nathan Lane, and Jane Lynch.
It's about making a podcast, Frank.
Oh.
There's a murder in the building, and they decided to make a podcast to try and solve the murder.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. I did not know that. At 13 is I Think You Should Leave.
Nope.
Sketch comedy series?
Nope.
Okay, cool. 12, Dickinson. Dickinson ranked higher than Hawkeye.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's over, though. They did a three-season in and out. And this, so that would have been on the third season. I'm sure it was good. It's on my list, sort of. You know.
I mean, she's in a lot of stuff in this year. Number 11, Legends of Tomorrow.
Not this season, but I'll...
This is the picture that they're using is them at the bowling alley. So I'm assuming this will be.
Yeah. So it was that season. No. I mean that season was good. There was some weak points in it, but overall that season was pretty good.
I don't agree with number 10, Loki. I don't agree with that as a top.
No, that's like top 24. Yeah. No, not above Hawkeye.
No. Number 9 is an actual documentary I do want to watch, considering I blast the Beatles all the time, but The Beatles Get Back is at number 9. I heard it was fantastic. I'd put that there. I heard that everybody, Pat Gallagher.
It's a commitment.
Yep. It's, yep.
It's yep. 9 hours. It's definitely a commitment, but it was very good.
Number 8, Invincible. I'll take that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
I'd go at least 8. Let's see what's left.
What We Do in Shadows, number 7.
It's on like season 3. I've heard it's fantastic. I have to get in the right mindset to dive into that one.
Okay. 6, Ted Lasso. I would put that higher.
Oh, yeah. Personally. 6 is way too low.
That's top 3 for me.
Because that means probably Falcon and the Winter Soldier is above that.
Mayor of Easttown at 5.
It was good, but it wasn't better than most of these. Mayor of Easttown was a very good show. It was not better than Ted Lasso.
This number 4 show is actually up on my list of what I want to watch next for a more serious show. No, it really is Succession. I actually really want to watch Succession.
Which was barely on in 2021. Like this came at the very tail end, even around the same time as Hawkeye.
3, Midnight Mass.
It's on my list. I'm trying to watch those in order. I watched The House on Haunting Hill. Then I got to watch The Haunting of Bly Manor.
You know who's in Midnight Mass from this picture?
Rahul, no, I don't know who's in Midnight Mass.
It's the kid from Friday Night Lights. He was the quarterback. Jesus. Yeah, that's who that looks like. Looks like Matt Saracen.
Oh, look at that.
Midnight Mass was great. Dylan says, number 2, Squid Game. I still refuse to watch it.
Okay.
I refuse to watch it.
I don't know. On New Year's, my wife and her friends did something with a cookie and a pin. I don't know.
I know. I see it all over the place. I don't want to know.
I feel like nobody won.
Number 1 is The Reader's Choice. That's what it says. WandaVision.
Yeah. No.
Is the number 1 show?
Definitely not. Not better than... It depends on what you're into, right? Like, if you're into suffering and misery, that could have been your number 1 show.
Correct.
I would not put it above Ted Lasso or Hawkeye. Speaking of that, so there's that. So before we dive into... We got Cobra Kai and Boba Fett coming up, right?
Yes, sir.
So before we dive into that, so let's there was some Marvel stuff on here. Where would you rank the 9 Marvel properties that came out this year? So we had WandaVision,
okay,
Falcon Winter Soldier, Loki.
I'm gonna have to write these down.
What If?
Tonight. What If is at the bottom?
Hawkeye.
What If's at the bottom?
Hold on, Eternals.
Ooh.
Black Widow.
Shit.
Shang-Chi and Spider-Man.
Well, Spider-Man's at the top.
Okay.
Obviously. I would have to.
Oh, that's a cool fact, Dylan, about Midnight Mass. I watched Haunting of Hill House specifically to watch Haunting of Bly Manor and then to watch Midnight Mass, and I did not. Hold on. I've not been ready to dig back in to the horror genre that deep.
Hawkeye. I have to write this down because there's so many. You can do yours as I.
And for people that listen and aren't watching, I would, Dylan, let us know the creator got rejected by Netflix in 2014 for Midnight Mass being too controversial with religion. then after the success of the other two, they gave him the green light on it. It's pretty cool. That's definitely on my to-do list. Midnight Mass and Bly Manor. So my list, and I'll start from the bottom. The bottom of my list would be Loki.
Wow.
Then wow. What If?
Wow.
Then Falcon and Winter Soldier. Then Shang-Chi. Then WandaVision. Then Eternals. Then Black Widow, Hawkeye, and No Way Home.
All right. At the bottom for me, definitely What If. Stone Cold at the bottom. Then the Eternals.
Okay.
And then I would have to put Loki. And
see, I think Eternals is going to hold up when people get to start watching at home in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's a good popcorn action movie, I think.
I got Black Widow down there. It was good. It's just a little too late for that for me.
But flip it, dude. It's a Yelena origin story.
Yes. If you'd flip it that way. And then in the top five, going backwards still, is Shang-Chi, then Falcon, then Wanda, then Hawkeye, then Spider-Man. And I really liked Wanda. I really liked WandaVision. I thought that was a pretty good show. I still have hope that they're going to sneak an engineer in another show somewhere.
They did. He was on the show. Or she was on the show.
It was a chick, see? but yeah, I definitely have What If and Loki and Eternals straddling the bottom there for me. Black Widow can kind of float. I have to see that again.
So, yeah, I watched it again, or at least parts of it, and just the stuff with her and Yelena just makes it is so great. Yeah. And then seeing her again in Hawkeye really, really made me remember how much I appreciated that movie.
Dylan says, gotta suck for people watching the MCU in order and seeing Black Widow's grave at the end of it before Endgame. Yeah. Yeah, if you're taking the TV shows to account, that kind of sucks.
No, he means the people that watch the stuff in chronological order.
That's what I mean. Yeah, because if you add it. Oh, wait, that's the movie. I'm thinking TV show. I'm so stuck on TV shows right now.
Yeah, well, you got a lot to watch this year.
So much. So Cobra Kai, right? Obviously, there's going to be some spoilers for Cobra Kai.
Let's do Boba first, because there's only one episode people had to watch of that.
Okay. I could do Boba first.
And then we can flip to Cobra Kai, because not everybody may have had the 5 hours free to watch it.
Right. You don't want to talk about John Diggle returning to Batwoman in season 3, episode 9?
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. That's all my DC.
I mean, look, at the end of the Supergirl episode he was on, he went to go embrace the ring.
I didn't know. I didn't watch. I'll just have to watch that scene, because I'm not watching the last season.
Oh, you'll love it. You should watch it.
Nope.
You're putting yourself through the Flash. You might as well.
I don't know if I'm putting myself through the Flash this season. I'm kind of on the fence on that one. I'm definitely on the fence. All right. So if you haven't seen Boba Fett. Oh, that's nice. If you haven't seen Boba Fett.
Is that Diablo, Master of the Ocarina?
Yeah, it was. But it's the twin sons.
Okay.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about episode one, and obviously there's spoilers. So if you have not seen episode one of Boba Fett, you're kind of shit out of luck. Stop at 33 minutes and 55 seconds and come back when you're done.
And that you've had almost a week.
Yeah. So the first thing I'm gonna start off with is that the beginning of Boba Fett was actually predicted 8 years ago. Almost scene by scene.
Oh, on another TV show, maybe.
It might have been on another TV show. It might have been by Patton Oswalt.
And it might have been off the cuff.
It was off the cuff, and I'm going to read it because I grabbed it from the internet. So in the episode, in the Parks and Rec episode, he was creating a filibuster, Patton Oswalt's character. And his filibuster was absolutely breathtakingly awesome. And it was all off the cuff. They literally just put the camera on and let him go. If you want to look it up, I would search YouTube for the Patton Oswalt Parks and Rec scene. It'll come up. It's like about 6 or 7 minutes long, I think. But this little snippet that he says, pitches the usual Star Wars logo, the opening crawl, before his version opens on Boba Fett and the twin desert sons of Tatooine. We pan down from the twin sons of Tatooine. We are now close to the mouth of the Sarlacc pit. After a beat, the gloved Mandalorian armor gauntlet of Boba Fett grabs onto the sand outside the Sarlacc pit, and the feared bounty hunter pulls himself from the maw of the sand beast. That's the opening of his filibuster that was almost the exact opening of Boba Fett.
Which he made up off the cuff and is a Star Wars fan, but not a huge Star Wars fan. So he actually crammed everything he could think of from Star Wars into said filibuster.
Yep. It actually is really, really fun to watch.
It's good. Good episode too. Minutes.
Right.
But the current show. So what'd you think?
I liked it. I thought it was a pretty good start, but a very jarring end. There's one or two little things that didn't make a whole lot of sense. When he kills the one guy and then he tells her to take everybody else alive, that was kind of like, whatever. But I don't know. I liked it overall. What did you think?
I thought it sets the continued precedent for the Star Wars TV shows of we're going to be slow. we're going to be slow in our storytelling and shorten our episodes, which I was okay with, because I thought they did actually get some good information here, but it was basically just a recap, you know, and it's the thing is they have to take into consideration, which they usually don't, which I appreciate them doing here, that people didn't watch.
Right.
Clone Wars.
Right.
Because in Clone Wars, you get a ton. And Clone Wars and Rebels, actually, you get a ton of evolution of Boba.
Yes.
Which, you know, if you didn't watch those, this show kind of brings you a little bit up to speed with what happened to him after the fact. And I do like the dynamic that they're setting up between him and Fennec Shand.
Same.
And as Dylan said in the chat, the Tusken Raider staff makes a lot more sense that he had in The Mandalorian now.
That's good continuity.
Yeah. And the bits with him getting out of the Sarlacc pit, that tracked.
Right.
I don't know how fast it was. And it's I didn't realize that all of the scars that he has seem to be from the sun.
Yeah. That's a little weird.
But I mean, he was out there for God knows how long burning in the sun.
Right.
Over and over and over again. But I also don't know if I like this crutch of the healing tank that they're already setting up.
The every little thing he has to go back for it.
Right. Or the fact that his Boba Fett armor seems still a little tight in a lot of places.
Oh, he's
compared
a little...
to what I remember from the original.
Well, he's a little older.
No, but even when they did the flashbacks, I was like, I don't remember riding up the chest quite that far. But he also never wore it. He wore it as Jango Fett was all.
Correct. One of the things I didn't understand after I read into it, and I looked for the Easter eggs and all that crap, what I don't pick up on my own, was on the back of his chair, all the writing that's there, that's Sith writing. And I texted you this, and your response was just more of a, huh? If you decipher the old Sith language, it really just reads Boba Fett, which kind of makes no sense to have that old ass writing on that chair that he inherited from Bib Fortuna, who took it from Jabba. So you're going to tell me all this time that's only just said Boba Fett on the back? That's a weird retcon.
Yeah, well, and it wouldn't have.
No.
Because he was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe. I mean, no, he was, because we established in those same shows.
Yep.
Jabba was in Rebels.
Yep.
And Boba Fett was not in charge of that.
Right. I mean, I appreciated seeing the barge destroyed. I liked the use of the flamethrower for the first time from him.
Yeah.
I like that they retconned a George Lucas special edition change. The beak that the pit had, they got rid of the beak.
Right. Yeah.
Let me see. The Jawa stole his armor. We're going to get to Cobra Kai in a minute. Don't worry. I mean, it was good, but you really got to grab me a little bit more. I mean, it's Star Wars, and I'm thirsty for Star Wars anything right now.
Yeah, it was a lot. Here's what you missed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping the next episode starts propelling us forward.
Unless it's a flashback
of this episode,
or you missed last time. Yes,
right. Which is another Mandalorian Star Wars trope.
They did point out that the coins are Republic coins now. That the Rebel Alliance is on the coins. I didn't notice that because they didn't linger on it too long.
It's quick. I wouldn't have gotten that in the Mandalorian.
No, not at all. What else?
Because the remnants of the Empire still seem pretty on point in Mandalorian.
Yeah. Boba Fett's monster kills has echoes of Jabba's death. Yeah. When he killed the monster.
It's just wrapping the chain.
Yeah. I mean, they're stretching for Easter eggs.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see where they take it. You know, I have faith in Favreau and Filoni and Rodriguez now.
Yeah, I
you could tell it was written by Favreau because it was very much in the same vein as The Mandalorian. So I'm excited to see where this goes and where the other Star Wars shows go, so we can start to see that evolution of and how different writers take on this content versus we're now in our third season of like the Favreau Filoni.
Yes. Model.
Methodology, yeah. So I'm really interested to see how other people attack it.
I mean, an Obi-Wan camo wouldn't be bad.
Were we gonna have cameo? A flashback?
Maybe. I mean, well,
Obi-Wan's dead.
That's right. Point. He is dead. So then there has to. Well, it would be a flashback then, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I mean, to where he kills his dad.
They're going to shoehorn some stuff in.
Yeah, but, we'll see. I think his backstory was really, really explored in the animated stuff. So I don't know if you need it in the as much as we might get it. So,
like I said, I'm thirsty for Star Wars stuff right now. So I'm kind of latching onto it a little bit. But
We have at least three shows this year. So
yes, and I think we have some Marvel shows coming too.
Maybe allegedly. Haven't announced anything yet, which is shocking.
No. All right, the other show we watched. This is Letterkenny. The one.
Yes. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
If you have, the ratio, the screen ratio of the earlier seasons screw me up, and I can't watch it. It's horrible on Hulu.
So, by the way, they just started doing a podcast.
Oh, goody!
Where the guys go back and they rewatch the show.
Okay.
And they're even like, God bless anyone that made it through the first two seasons with us because they were awful.
Yeah. I'm on season three and it's the aspect ratio that's kind of screwed up on Hulu. And I just.
But like
can't.
Three into four, they're like, we figured it out around season three or four. They're like, but even the first episode, they asked it to be shot like it was on a handheld camera.
Oh my God. So at the 44 minute mark of this podcast, if you have not seen Cobra Kai season four, right? Season four.
Yep.
If you have not seen all of season four, you want to jump out and then jump back in after you watch it because we're about to spoil the shit out of it.
We are.
And
we got Dom that stopped by, our guest from a few weeks ago.
Yes, Dom watched it twice through on top of watching Spider-Man 97 times already. what did you think of Cobra Kai?
I didn't expect to end up enjoying this season as much as I did. I was watching it out of, commitment to being a 40-year almost Karate Kid fan.
Yeah.
But it finally came around at the end. It pulled it in about halfway through. I was like, I don't know if it's going to do it. But they leaned into to the Johnny Danny storyline, and it worked out. I really like what they did with Terry Silver in this.
I think they took what could have been an amazing character in 3 and really made him a good character in Karate Kid 3 and yeah. really made him a good character in this season of Cobra Kai.
But I was out on him until the very end. I was like, all right, they're going this way. All right, whatever. And then, yep. but now, you know, it, but I appreciated that there was only one, maybe two scenes where I would have been like, well, they would have just been arrested and this show would have been over. There was a lot of those last season. Season 3 was chock full of like, no, that kid's parents would have called the cops and the other kid would have gone to jail.
Right.
Because he's one of the rich kids.
Right.
There was only two of those this season, which was much better
right.
than past seasons.
One of the things I really enjoyed about it was that it wasn't – they didn't give you the win where you thought they were going to give you the win. They gave you the wins in a tournament where you didn't expect them to give you the wins. Because yeah. the way the tournament went, I thought it would be a reverse. I thought that Sam would have won for the girls – to keep the LaRussos up there mm-hmm. and that Robbie would have won for Cobra Kai because he's, you know, because Hawk was so underutilized the whole entire series season. I'm sorry.
He, I don't think that he was. I think they did really great work in the background with him.
Yeah.
Where there was a lot going on with him, but they didn't make it the focal point.
Right.
But they moved his story along really as much as anybody's. Sam's still kind of a bitch. So like, I still can't root for her.
Mm-mm, not at all. I don't like the character. Dom says he likes the layers on the show. Miguel bonding with Daniel, Sam bonding with Johnny. I enjoyed that because it paid off in the end with the tournament. The whole unspoken Cree Silver rivalry was fun to see that Dylan said. I didn't think they were going to go that way at the end with that. I didn't think that I thought it was going to be the way they were leading you to believe it was, is that he beats this guy up. And I kept waiting for the cops to come into the tournament and arrest him.
And then you remember back to Karate Kid 3 and what a, just an evil human being the guy yep. is. And you're like, oh, he still is that bad.
Yes. Just minus the cocaine.
And it's yeah,
a great line.
And we'll see. Cause I wonder if they're going to start turning Kreese back around, give him a redemption arc.
So here's – where did I have that? Where did I write this? Right now, season 6 is being written, and the showrunners hope for more beyond 6, and they still have an actual endgame plan for the series that they're keeping in the story. Like, they have an actual endgame. Actor Thomas Ian Griffith, who plays Terry Silver, says that they recently wrapped season 5 and seasons – are. Yeah, they recently wrapped season 5, and that's going to be even better than season 4. So
season 6 is do we get Hillary Swank?
Due to Netflix's due to Netflix's early renewal, Cobra Kai season 5 has already finished filming. With minimal special effects and the increasing popularity of the show, it's possible Netflix could release the 5th season sometimes in 2022. Possibly much sooner than the winter window the previous 2 seasons have.
They'd be really smart to release it sooner.
Yes, Dom, that was where I was going next. Dylan said Cobra Kai is just a story of a bad place, bad time. Every time they try to resolve something, someone screws it up. Dom asked if you think Mike Barnes comes back next season. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, and Frank, we were talking about it the other day. That's why I said Hillary Swank for season 6.
Yep. They
realize now that it's starting to get popular. All right, we got a slow roll.
Yep.
These people coming back.
They asked somebody. So they're trying to cram everybody that they can in their first couple of seasons. And now it's like, oh, people like this. We just burned every bridge we had. Somebody associated with the show said that they could bring Hillary Swank in, but bringing in Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith won't work with the current story.
No.
Because Hillary Swank is still technically attached to the universe that they're in.
Right.
Because I never saw that movie. So
I did, but it's probably been 30 years.
That was what, so two of the questions I had for you is, do you think Terry's betrayal sets up Mike Barnes' return? Obviously.
I think he brings him back as his secondary sensei.
Right. The way Daniel brought Chosen back.
But right. And I think that's what it's going to be, right? It's going to be Karate Kid 2 versus Karate Kid 3.
Right.
And but then where does Johnny fall?
Well, so Johnny is going to find out, like I texted you, Johnny is going to find out that Miguel's dad is actually the cartel guy from the Ozarks, and Netflix is going to bridge their shows. Jason Bateman will be in Cobra Kai season 5. That's what I'm saying.
But he'll be in it as Teen Wolf too.
That would be the most epic deep dive thing ever. What do you think Tori will do, knowing now that she saw Terry paid off the ref to call the match for her?
I think she will end up telling Robbie. And then we'll see where it goes from there. I think she ends up coming over to Johnny's side.
Yeah. Do her and Sam keep their little bitch fest going?
I don't think Sam will let it go. I think Tori would.
Right.
Which is why I dislike the Sam character so much. I was less than thrilled when I was like, oh, they're doing the next generation now, bringing in the eighth graders or the seventh graders or whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. Now we're doing middle school. Okay. That bring that in, I guess, because then you make – I mean, all this show does is it says, how can we recycle this theme that we just used here with right. somebody else? And they just keep layering, like Dom said earlier, like they just keep – moving that onto somebody else, onto somebody else, onto somebody else, right?
Yep.
Because then you get that with Robbie and the kid who saw Miguel. Somebody say today, no, not Miguel.
Oh, Kenny,
who somebody said that he should be Miles Morales if they
that
do.
Was
a,
Danny. Yeah. That was Danny. I saw that too.
I think Tori tried to let it go last season too a few times.
She did a little
and
bit.
Sam just won't.
Nope. No, because she's a spoiled little rich bitch.
But yeah, so I don't know that I care about seeing what a horrible set of parents the LaRussos are. I kind of already knew that.
Yeah.
With the one kid, I was like, all right, so the kid lost some weight and sprouted up, so they decided to write him into the story. That's cool.
And they made him a bully.
Yeah, and but he doesn't realize he's a bully. And now he's definitely going to be a bully, and he's probably going to go to Johnny.
Did you think when they showed this scene where the cars were all clean, did you think he actually was like going to fall in and like they were just going to go the route that no, I didn't either. No, I didn't think that either. Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought, yeah, they're definitely recycling the same story over and over and over again. The Anthony storyline, which.
LaRusso.
Oh yeah. I didn't need that at all. That was unnecessary.
That's setting up like season 10, in my opinion. Like, all right. But I think as the cast gets younger, the acting can only get better.
You would hope.
Look, so my wife watched with me. Was like, this is awful. I said, I know, but isn't it great?
So have her watch Karate Kid 3 and then tell me what awful is.
Oh, she did.
Yeah. Oh, good. I did enjoy the Daniel Johnny fight. That was fun.
It was. And the hockey guy fight, I'm like, I don't think security would let all this happen.
No. As soon as he grabbed that hockey stick, they're right there on him.
Like, I feel like Danny's getting tased.
Why did it now why he should have. Why did it feel like Johnny's training for the night fight lasted a week? Because they were fighting that night, remember?
Oh, yeah. It was the next morning.
It was the next. And it felt like his training lasted forever. But I dug it because they went all in with the Rocky like thing. I
can't tell. I don't remember when they broke into the house. Was that like after homecoming?
I don't remember.
Because I feel like that was another dance, wasn't it?
It was a party, maybe.
And this was prom.
This was prom. So what else do we have left? Oh, this was junior proms. We have all senior year to go. Who is better at the other style, Johnny doing Miyagi-Do or Daniel doing Eagle Fang? I think Johnny's a better...
Johnny's way more of a badass.
I think Johnny's way... Yeah, I think Johnny's better at Johnny at both styles. I can't root for Daniel. I just find... Like, you rooted for him in the movies, but then, like, as the years go...
time went on, you realize that he's the bad guy.
He really is. And his family, like, his wife's cool. He's an asshole. Like, he's just... Daniel LaRusso is an asshole, period.
Yeah, it's he's really hard to root for. Like, he and his daughter, I've no interest in rooting for either one of them. I'll root for Johnny.
Or his kid.
Miguel, I'm back and forth as if I root for.
Well, no, not Miguel. I mean Anthony. Anthony, Sam, and Daniel. Yeah. They can all go.
They're all horrible.
Go back to Okinawa and stay there. But ever since that viral YouTube video dropped, years ago, I think that was, I've always seen Daniel as the villain. Yes.
Was that the one from How I Met Your Mother?
I think so.
Or is there another one? Because How I Met Your Mother is how I first heard that when they first heard,
and then I think somebody made a video about it. Or maybe it was both at the same time.
And Billy Zabka came on How I Met Your Mother was like, yeah, I was totally the hero.
Yeah. And I guess that's it for Elizabeth Shue, like one and done.
Yeah, she doesn't. She didn't need it.
No, not really. Before
and
she
did The Boys. Maybe she'll come back on CSI Vegas. Got picked up for season two. I already made the commitment during season one that if they didn't bring back Grissom, that I would not watch season two. And Grissom has already said he's not coming back. So, oh well. They tried to introduce a whole new cast that was not intriguing to watch at all.
No. I never got into the CSIs or the Law and Orders, or I never got into any of those.
I just got into the original CSI.
Okay,
I enjoyed the original one.
The only the last two quick little things that are no spoilerish. James Gunn on Twitter, when asked on Twitter on January 2nd to describe the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 trailer in 2022 in one word, he replied, non-existent. So expect no Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 trailer at all this year.
That doesn't surprise me.
No.
He waited how long in the Suicide Squad stuff?
He waited down to the last minute.
We had the stuff during Fandom. Right?
Yep.
But that was a year after he finished filming 2 years before it came out.
I'm sorry. I'm looking up what Dylan just asked. So The Boys finished filming in September.
Yeah, but that looks like a clickbaity kind of title.
What?
That it didn't necessarily get moved, but that just they like to say, hey, this isn't coming out this month.
Right. So they're expected to arrive early to mid 2022. Jimmy, the Suicide Squad movie, which one? The new one wasn't terrible, but at least it didn't have that awful joke in it.
Look, they killed Pete Davidson, which is a plus to any movie in my book.
Spider-Man, No Way Home. In just 12 days, No Way Home surpassed the entire Rise of Skywalker domestic box office run in a pandemic.
Yeah. Well, most of that was Dom.
A lot of that was Dom. Yes. Peacemaker comes out next week. And James Gunn said that there is an after credit scene after every Peacemaker episode.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, which I mean, that's half the reason Suicide Squad wasn't horrible is that you got him. I mean, the scene where they're going through the camp with him and Bloodsport keeping score, and then you find out that they were the good guys.
Right. That was hilarious. Like, that was really, like, laugh out loud. I like to take credit for that No Way Home box office. You definitely do. And last thing, I know we were ranking shows earlier, the Marvel shows.
Yeah.
Green Rant did their ranking pretty close to mine.
Yeah.
What If at 5, Falcon and Winter Soldier at 4, The only issue I have is they have Hawkeye at 3, Loki at 2, and Wanda at 1.
Did people watch a different Loki show than me?
I think so.
I mean, I'm pretty negative, but like, but that show sucked.
Oh, that's shit. That's right. We also forgot about the Batman trailer that came out last week that we didn't talk about.
Did you watch it last week?
I loved it. I am so excited for this Batman.
I need no more trailers for this movie. I just need the movie to come out.
And I think that's May, if I'm right.
I think it's sooner than that. I feel like Batman's February. We get Morbius in like
March
2 weeks.
March 4th. How about March?
Which I am stoked for Morbius. I know you don't care. You're not in the horror stuff, but yeah, I think it
January
looks...
January 28th.
I think it looks super fun.
March 4th is when the Batman comes out.
All right.
And then we just have another 17 months to wait for The Flash. That's November 4th.
That's fine. It cannot come out. I'll be fine.
I'm losing steam on it is what I'm doing.
I just don't want to see Ezra Miller in anything ever.
I'm just losing steam on it.
So, but hey, everybody, thanks for finding the Geek Spot with us as always. You know, tell a friend. Tell him to come hang out with us next week. We're here every Monday at 7. Tell him to check it out and subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. Find us on podcasts, wherever you get them, Google Podcasts, iTunes. All those fancy places. Give us the 5-star rating. Hit a like and subscribe. And Dylan, we are also excited for Aquaman 2. I think we talked about that a little bit last week. But we got to thank you all for finding the Geek Spot with us, and we will see you all next week. Bye.